I appreciate the opportunity to be with you this afternoon. For those of you who have attended the Rich Mountain Association regularly over the last 30 years or so, you're not confused. It is Saturday afternoon. Brother Ron and I have been teamed up on Saturday nights a lot of times over the last many years, but not this time. We've had, with part of the meeting that I've been able to attend, we've had wonderful preaching, good singing, wonderful singing. Spirit's been manifest among us in a powerful way, and I'm thankful that once again I've been able to be here and to experience the blessings that have been ours to enjoy. Brother Crawford, this morning mentioned the possibility of outlining Romans chapter 8, and said some folks might do it differently than he would. I don't know, Brother David. If they don't get it right, they don't get it right. I probably should have gone to school where you're principal, where you can do it different and succeed. In my day, if they didn't get it right, they didn't get it right. I would. But he dealt with subsection A of the outline. Let me move to B. Could we do that?
Amen.
This afternoon. As the Apostle Paul moves down past the leading, Brother David dealt with there is therefore now no condemnation. That's subsection A. And he pointed out to us this morning that the last subsection, regardless how many we come up with, right, the last one is going to be there is no separation.
Amen.
I'm persuaded, Paul said, that neither death nor life nor principalities nor powers, things present, things come, height nor depth nor any other creature. Probably didn't quote that right, but you know. Any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, now I love that text. That's a funeral text. I don't know. There's a lady in our community at home who keeps up with such things, and she tells me once in a while how many funerals she's heard me preach for folks who took their own life. And that's of significant consequence to her, because her own father did that, and it was about 15 years after that happened before I was blessed one time to preach a funeral of a young man who had done it, who had taken his own life in her presence. And she learned from that message that she no longer had to believe her daddy had gone to hell because he took his life.
Amen. Amen.
So it's significant to her. And if she knows I have one, if she's able, she's in her 90s now, but if she's able, she'll get there to have that lesson reestablished in her mind again and again. And I don't know, she's got it up around 10 or 12. She's heard me preach over the years. Well, I tell you, when you're called on to preach the funeral of some individual who has gotten to the end of his rope in this life and has taken his own life, it's comforting to have this text.
Amen.
That death, the manner of our death, the cause of our death, the act of dying cannot separate us.
That's right.
From the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So that's preservation.
Amen.
Okay, that's a part of that's an essential part of that preservation.
Amen.
That God has done and is doing for us. God is a keeping God, you know.
Amen.
He's promised to keep his people, and he's promised to keep his Bible, his word.
Yeah.
Our words, O God, are pure words. Thou wilt keep them forever, David said. Now, somebody told me the context of that won't let you believe that he's talking about the Bible. Folks who say that to me are making too much importance out of context. Okay? Take the plain truth of the scripture and go with it. God's going to keep the words of this book.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
Now, if I didn't believe that, I'd just park it. Because if I can't trust the Bible I read,
amen,
to be the divinely inspired word of God, and believe that it has been preserved,
yeah,
by the faithfulness of God to his people, so that you and I still have the ability to have an accurate understanding of the promises, the purposes, and the workings of God, I just wouldn't know what to read.
That's right.
Might as well throw in the towel if I can't trust the Bible.
Right?
But I can, I do. I encourage you to trust it. Don't worry about whether it's true or not. Spend your time trying to find out what it teaches.
Amen.
Don't get involved with folks who don't believe it's true. Just tell them sorry for you and go on. No use answering a fool according to his folly. That's all you're doing. If you get in a discussion with somebody who does not believe the Bible that we have today is true, you're just answering a fool according to his folly. Okay. So we're going to go to subsection B. Paul says there in that 8th chapter of Romans that the carnal mind.
Yeah.
The carnal mind.
Yep.
Is enmity against God. Okay? Now that's the nature of that individual. And is not subject to the law of God. That's the behavior of the man with the carnal mind. So he hates God, he's at enmity with God or against God, and he's not subject to the law of God, he's not obedient to the law of God. That's a statement of principle without exception.
That's right.
Yeah.
You never find a man who has not been born of the Spirit of God and who does not have the Spirit of God dwelling in him who wants to obey God.
Right.
Okay? They don't care. They don't think about God. Now, Brother David's experience as a high school principal is totally different than mine. On that trip I made to Florida that he mentioned this morning, the brother with whom I stayed had been superintendent of county school system there in Baker County. While Brother David was principal, he was Brother David's boss. But he took me by the building where Brother David was principal. We don't have high schools like that in Arkansas, folks. I mean, maybe in Northwest Arkansas or Little Rock, but not Magazine of Fountain Lake, I just tell you. That's not rule. Kind of sort of rule, but it's not like us. It's not a couple of hundred kids somewhere out in a little old town. That's a big, impressive campus, okay? But there were kids who went to high school at Magazine, somewhere between 20 and, well, a little longer than that, 30 and 40 years ago, who didn't ever think about me until they were misbehaving and somebody said Isaac's. Then they thought about me.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
But you can say God to a dead sinner and he still doesn't think about God.
Yeah. Amen.
He doesn't get scared.
No.
He doesn't throw his cigarette down and stomp on it like a high school kid used to do, you know. He doesn't think about God. He doesn't care about God. He's at enmity against God. And he would laugh at you for proposing that there is a God.
That's right.
The fool had said in his heart, there is no God. All right? Now that's where the man is. So all we have to do now to get this man to heaven is to get him to believe on the Lord Jesus and publicly confess his name and accept him as his Savior and make a public profession of his faith. How you want, any of you want that job? All right, let's get the verse finished. The carnal mind is enmity against God. That's his nature. He's not subject to the law of God. That's his behavior. And neither indeed can be. Now, if I read that sentence correctly, if I understand it correctly, there's not a law God has given that man will keep because it's the law of God. Now, he may keep it because it's to his advantage in the community. He may do that. He may behave himself in an appropriate way for the esteem of folks around him. He's sense enough to know that nobody likes people who just openly steal. So he won't steal if anybody's looking. So he doesn't lose his place in the community. He does not steal because it's wrong to steal. He doesn't care about that. He just doesn't want to lose his standing in the community.
Yeah.
You understand the difference? All right, let's drop down about four verses, five verses, something like that. Paul says, so then.
Yeah, right.
Now this is Paul's sub-conclusion. So then. They that are in the flesh. Now, we use an expression sometimes in everyday conversation about folks being in the flesh. And what we mean is they're angry. And, you know, that's not what this is talking about.
That's right.
This is talking about a man being after the flesh. Paul says, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the spirit mind or consider, think about the things of the spirit. The man who's not been born of the spirit of God is in the flesh and in the flesh only, and he minds the things of the flesh and he does not mind or consider the things of the spirit. Paul says, so then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Do I have to explain that? He cannot please God. We don't need a dictionary for that expression, do we? They cannot please God. But all they have to do is accept the Lord Jesus and believe on his name and God will save them, I'm told. Does that harmonize? Is it pleasing to God for us to believe in God? Is it pleasing to God for us to believe in the Lord Jesus? Must be. Jesus told the disciples on one occasion, ye believe in God. Now look, there's some modern versions of the Bible that left out the ye there. That ruins this sentence.
It does.
Jesus did not command the apostles to believe in God. He states the fact they do believe in God. There's a world of difference in those two. He said about them, to them, or to them about them, ye believe in God. Well, now, they're already way ahead of that fool that said in his heart there is no God, aren't they? Well, how'd they get ahead of it? What is there about them that causes them to believe that there is a God, that God is, that God is real, and to believe that he's on his throne, in heaven, blessing individuals and rewarding them that diligently seek him? What made that difference? Brother Ron just told us. God has revealed that unto them. Okay? Now, I value the logic of the human mind. I love to see people figure out great questions, ponder mathematical issues, deal with the laws of physics. I love it. I admire it. There are folks in this building that I can ask them what they do, and I don't understand the first three words they say. You know, they just leave me. Brother Shannon back there builds airplanes for a living. And I know that much. I got that much of that. But when I ask him questions about aerodynamics, it's probably not going to help me a whole lot. He'll tell me, but I don't grasp a whole lot of it. Brother Harris, back there, he's a software engineer. Man, I don't understand the language he speaks. I love to visit with Brother Harris about other things, but you know, we're not getting anywhere, brother, when we're trying to talk about design and software. I don't get it. Okay. But God has revealed himself to people, and they do understand. He gives them understanding. John said in 1 John, we know that the Son of God is come. He's not talking about coming in the flesh. He's talking about coming into our being, coming into our hearts, coming into us, placing his Spirit in us, making us his by birth. We know that the Son of God is come and hath given unto us an understanding. I like to talk to people with understanding. Don't you? I mean, it doesn't do me a whole lot of good to talk to people who don't understand what I say. I can't really impress anybody with my vocabulary or my powers of logic, so I just like for them to understand what I say. Maybe they will appreciate a thought I've had if they just understand what I say. God has given to me and to you an ability to understand the things of the Spirit. And if we have the ability to understand those things, it becomes pleasant to us to ponder them. Don't you all like to think about things that you can understand and just turn the thoughts over in your mind and come to an additional understanding, a greater understanding of something than you had before? I do. I mean, if it's, you know, if it's nothing more than how a thermostat works, if I can understand a little of it and ponder it and think about it and learn a little more about it, it's an interesting experience.
Yeah.
I tell you, when you ponder the goodness of God in your heart, it is a rewarding field of thought.
It is.
We ought to meditate in His law day and night.
Amen.
But the natural man can't do that.
No, he can't.
He simply cannot do it.
No.
Can you do that? Can you meditate in the law of God at least part of the day and some of the night?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to set a minimum amount, you know. But can you just meditate just a little bit of the day or of the night in the law of God? If you can, God has given you that ability. The natural man, the carnal man, absolutely cannot meditate upon those things. Okay. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. Pray tell me what I can do that does not please God, that will give me better position before God than I had before I did it. Any of you ever try that? Now my mother, she didn't negotiate much about discipline when I was growing up. She didn't spend much time explaining it either, but pretty swift. But sometimes, if I realized I'd crossed the line and I could jump back across the line before she really got stirred up. And it's the truth, so help me. When I would go see her daddy, my grandfather, who lived right down the road from us, when I would leave his house, he would tell me, "Son, be careful, your mama's awful high-tempered." He really did. And it was true. But I could sometimes get back across the line and do what she intended me to do and get out of the chastisement I was about to get if I didn't. Okay? But the natural sinner is not going back across the line.
No.
He's born on the wrong side of the line. He lives on the wrong side of the line. His only knowledge of existence is on the wrong side of the line. He's not going to move himself across the line. I think that's what Jesus means in John 6:44, when he said, "No man can come unto me." If you're not on my side of the line, you can't come to me. That's what Jesus is saying. Well, why not? Because he can't please him. Why can't he please God? Well, Paul tells us in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Well, I thought everybody had faith. Well, Paul said no. He said all men have not faith. There's some men who don't have faith. Well, all he has to do is have faith. You can't just have faith.
Right.
I don't mean to be crude, but you may as well tell a man to lay an egg as to tell a natural sinner, just have faith. He's just about as apt to do one as he is the other. Just cannot do it. All right. Why is that? Because faith is produced by the Spirit of God in a man. It's the gift of God, faith is.
Right.
And the way God gives it is he plants his Spirit in their hearts, and that Spirit of God in your hearts produces faith in you.
Right.
And then that faith can flow from you.
Yeah.
And faith is a pleasing thing to God, but the natural man can't do it.
Right. That's right.
Can't bear that fruit. Okay, so Paul has established beyond a shadow of a doubt that the natural man cannot move himself to God. He cannot make himself spiritually alive. Well, if he can't do it himself, and if he must be born again, as Jesus told Nicodemus, in order to see the kingdom of God, how can that be? That's the question Nicodemus asked, wasn't it? When Jesus talked to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born again? Well, disregarding the absurdity of the question, if he could, he'd just be a born again dead sinner. He'd just have fleshly birth again. That wouldn't help anything. He must be born from above.
Yeah.
That's the work of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Now, moving down in the outline of chapter 8, Paul said, whom he justified, no, I'm getting it out of order, whom he predestinated, them he also called. No, he called. What does that mean? He gave them life. No man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. Draw him, called, mean the same thing.
That's right.
Synonymous expression. Now, who does it? God does it. God does it. I was at Stutesboro a few months ago, Brother Jacob, and an old brother there from the church at Augusta that I just met last year, and I've really come to appreciate the old brother. He's a very knowledgeable and very sweet brother. His wife's a very sweet sister. And so he was telling somebody in the congregation about a discourse he had heard me preach a few days earlier. I think he was actually at McClinney, and that's the one he was talking about.
Yes, it's him.
He said, I tell you, he preached top-down salvation from start to finish. I never heard that expression before. Top-down salvation. I kind of like it.
Yeah.
It comes down from God, my friend. It's not that we go up to God. It's that God comes down. God sends his spirit down. God reaches down. God takes us and pulls us, draws us, moves us, translates us into the kingdom of his dear son. That's not talking about the church, incidentally. That's talking about that kingdom that's made
Amen.
Up of everybody who's ever been born again.
Amen.
Whether in this world or in heaven itself, that's everybody who's ever been born again. How'd that happen? God translated us into the kingdom of his dear son.
Amen.
Now, God's not preserving dead sinners. All right? My wife hadn't been able to can tomato juice this year. That's been a major disappointment to her. But thank God. I'm sure we have the most tomato juice that's been canned at our house that's ever been canned. Our daughters and our friends, sisters in the church, have taken that job, and we got worlds in plenty. More we'll be able to use. But a year or two ago, she was getting ready to put up some tomato juice, and she said, this is a real challenge. This batch of tomatoes. And I said, why? She said, we got several bad spots in them. And I have to cut every bad spot out of that tomato, or the tomato juice won't be good. You can't preserve what's not good and have anything of value. All right. Doesn't do you any good to preserve that which is bad. So, God doesn't preserve alien sinners.
Right.
He preserves his people.
That's right.
Yeah, nothing shall be able to separate us, Paul said, talking about God's elect, God's called, God's justified, and those that are to be glorified in the resurrection. Nothing shall separate us. Now, what does that mean? That means when Jesus comes again, in the glory, in the clouds, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God sounds, all the family of man will be raised from the grave. Those that are alive and remain shall be changed and caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And the Lord's going to say to those that he separates out and puts on the left, depart from me. There's not going to be a child of God. There's not going to be a member of the elect family of God on his left when he says that. They're going to all be on his right. And those on his right hand, the sheep, those for whom Jesus died, are going to hear that wonderful expression, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit, that is possess, the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I look forward to that.
Yeah.
Oh, how beautiful heaven must be. The land of the redeemed. The land of the preserved. God's purified. God's sanctified. All ushered in to glory. And we're going to all be dressed in the robes of the Lord Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
The righteousness of the Lord Jesus.
Right.
I like that. You know, there's, I don't know if she's still here. This, yes, I guess. I don't see her, but I see her husband. there's a sister here that grew up in South Arkansas. She lives on Chicken Valley Road now. Anyway, she grew up in South Arkansas, partly. And when she was a little bitty girl, they would come up to Reveille to visit our meetings, and her mama would dress her in white. And she'd stay pretty and clean all day long, dressed in white. And our sisters at home would just, how in the world does that woman keep that kid clean all day long, wearing those white clothes? Well, you know, they carried her everywhere they went. That's how they did it. All right. She didn't get out in the mud with our little brats. So she stayed clean. I tell you, Jesus is carrying his people. We're going to enter heaven wearing white clothes. Not because we didn't wallow in the mud, but because he's cleaned us up and given us a place with him. And we're going to go home with him one day. I look forward to that, Brother Ron. I really do. As I get a little age on me, I'm not getting old, but you know, I do qualify as a senior citizen at discount places. As I get a little age, a lot of this world is getting pretty wearisome to me. I'm tired of a lot of this nonsense. I really am. The degradation of our society, the downhill turn in the morals of the people of this great land, the political corruption that we see rampant in our land, I'm just weary of it. But, you know, back about 12, 16 years ago, I about let Fox News run me crazy. One day I said to myself, son, you need to turn this off.
Amen. Amen.
And get out of this house.
Yeah.
And do something else. I don't keep all my resolutions, but that one I pretty well managed to keep.
Amen.
Now, you want to talk to me about current events? You better make it something really major and fairly recent, or I won't know what the word you're talking about.
Amen.
All right. My wife, like all of you know, been sick, and she had to be examined by a lot of people to see if her mind was working. I mean, it was every day's business. And they'd come in and they'd say, "Do you know where you are? Do you know the name of this hospital? Do you know what day of the week it is?" And one day she was doing pretty well, and somebody asked her, "Who's president of the U.S.?" And she went blank. And they looked at me, and I said, "Normal." Don't diagnose the problem on that. Had her mind on other things. I don't figure she could have answered that question. Maybe she could have on a good day, but nothing of a great deal of consequence. She spared herself a lot of misery I put myself through over the years. Amen. By focusing on the wrong things. But you know what? I don't believe we're going to be in that nonsense and glory. Amen. I believe we'll all be together, and there'll be one king. Jeffel, he's going to be our king. He's a perfect king. And we're going to spend all our time praising him.
Amen.
And enjoying, won't be any minutes, but enjoying all of it eternally. Yeah. I think he'd be good.
Amen.